Welcome, traveler, to the Inn at the Edge of Greenwood, a cozy roleplay podcast where adventurers from many realms come to tell their tales. You won't find any dice rolls or TTRPG mechanics here, just good old-fashioned make-believe and storytelling. We hope you enjoy your stay, and if you do, that you let us know with a review. Thank you for joining us. Now, let's grab something hot to drink and listen to a story.
Dear friend, I hope you are well and braving the cold snap that has rushed through the kingdom. For my part, I have been hunkered down with a bowl of stew as much as possible. I promised the other half of the Brightstar siblings story, and here it is. The Inn at the Edge of Greenwood, Book 2, Chapter 7, Two Hearts, Part 2. Later that day, the innkeeper is cleaning up around the place, starting to get a new pot of stew boiling, cutting bread, preparing for more people to come, when suddenly the door throws open, and standing in the doorway
is Gale Fandely. However, and I think that the innkeeper instantly recognizes him from the description from Muriel, but Gale looks actually very different as well. You see that, similarly to his sister, he also bears some scars. And you see that his hair, while mostly gold, you see that there is some a gray streak close to his forehead. And that his eyes, though a bright green, are sort of sunken and there are gray circles underneath. He looks exhausted. And you see also that he kind of has this like swaying about him, like he's a little drunk maybe. But particularly the most striking thing is that you're under the impression that Muriel and Gale are twins. He is the slightly younger. However, he looks at least 10 years older than Muriel at this point. He has lines around his mouth and brow. Muriel is probably in her mid to late 20s at this point, and Gale looks like late 30s, maybe even almost 40. Which for a half-elf, still relatively young, but they tend to age a bit more like humans. And he stumbles in and says, "Hello, innkeep."
Are you?
Do you have drink and anything, any sort of a diverting entertainment in this place? I am absolutely parched.
The innkeeper is very taken aback, trying to process everything that's just happened and the suddency of it. Are you Gale?
Huh. My reputation precedes me. And he pulls out a lute from his back. Says, "Perhaps you have heard of me and my illustrious talents. Shall I serenade you?"
So, I have heard of you, but maybe, let me get you a drink.
A drink, and I think that he kind of winks at you, says, "I would love to speak."
Right, and
I've heard you're quite the character around these parts.
Again, with everyone talking about me. And he pours two ales and slides one over and goes, I am so sorry, I'm just very... I have heard of you from someone who described you, who came through very recently.
Oh?
But they... Well, no offense, friend, but you're a little bit older than they let on. And so it's not quite lining up in my head here.
Huh. Oh, was it perhaps a lover from the previous inn or something?
No,
I'm sure the dark I can look a little different.
No, not a lover. You know? Nope. At least, and he looks very just like wrestling internally with the decision right now of who to say you were. But he does finally take a deep breath and go. He pulls the note out of his pocket. He just slides it over to you.
He looks at it and you instantly see his sort of like very devil may care kind of, very self-involved air kind of drops a little bit. You see that he looks it over for several moments. And he says, how long have you had this?
Not very long. I feel the two of you just missed each other.
Of course.
Friend, I am torn here. She's looking for you, but I don't know if you know why.
Oh, I do.
You do.
Well, truth is, I'm both, I'm sort of looking for her, but it's complicated.
See, the both of you say you're looking for each other, but then I don't know that you actually are. I feel like you're going to keep missing each other very often with that sort of an approach.
You're right. Well, maybe it's just that I feel like I don't know if I want her to see me like this. Changed. Different.
My name's Henry. I'm the innkeeper here. Muriel was in but a day ago and told me her side of the story, at least, of what had happened with Sin and everything. But I don't think she knows. She doesn't know what happened to you.
No. I imagine she wouldn't. I've been looking for her. I'm mostly also looking for a way to break her pact. A way for us to finally escape this hell together. So I'm both looking for her and not looking for her, I suppose. 'Cause I still haven't found the answer.
She's trying to break that pact as well. What happened to you, friend? She told me the story of how you were ascended, but then the next part in her tale was Sin attacking the entire pilgrims.
Yes, the pilgrimage is... Well, at least the southern temple is gone. As far as I know, one of our younger sisters is the High Priestess of the Northern Temple, and they still are going strong. But, yes. Sin is a volatile person, creature, being, whatever you'd like to call her. And especially so when she feels that someone has taken away one of her toys. And that was me for a time. I was
that must have
one of her
been
favorites.
Horrific.
Yes. I suppose my sister told you about the Rite of Ascension.
Yes, and it turned out to not be what they thought it was.
Right, well, I'm gonna have to get a lot drunker, so I hope that you have a lot of drinks in this place.
Plenty here, and he refills your ale, and actually puts a little shot of something down next to it as well.
A man after my own heart.
He pours his own and kind of clinks glasses with you and takes his own shot.
Well.
You can see he's like visibly just nervous and like very unsettled by everything that's happened over the last couple of days.
Well, I always appreciate telling my tale to a pretty face. Oh, where do I begin? So, you already know of the Pilgrims of Sin and the Rite of Ascension. And I was one of the chosen, but I was not really happy with that. I didn't want to leave my people. I believed in everything that the pilgrimage told me, but I feel that it is perfectly natural to fear the beyond, the whatever is next. But I did my part. I was a good pilgrim. I ascended with the rest of my fellow pilgrims that were chosen that year. But instead of being embraced into the beautiful eternity of paradise, we found ourselves in a cold, dark room. We could hear the screams. We could smell blood and fear. The fear of the dying and the lost. It takes a big, big sip, big glug of what you've put in front of him. And now you see that while he's telling this story, he's just like sort of idly strumming his lute.
Yeah.
You know, not really singing, but it's sort of providing this this sort of background scenery. And the result of it, as he's strumming the lute, you start to see the events as if you were living them. You see them through his eyes. And as he is narrating his experience, says, I was able to outwit some of the monsters and the traps that were laid for me by Sin. I was the only one of the ascended to survive each floor of the tower. I climbed higher and higher, and you see that you see Gale is at least a couple of years have gone by ascending this tower, that each floor is a new horror, some new obstacle, and every time he just barely overcomes it and is able to travel on to the next level. And that you see that he's grows into from a young man into an older man. And that finally he reaches the top of the tower. which is where Sin lives. He said, I was the first mortal in thousands and thousands of years, perhaps even longer, to reach the top of the tower. I had learned much at this point and had become rather skilled in the bardic magics.
The toll it took, though.
Time runs differently in the tower. What was only a few months in on the plane of Antares was several years within the tower. But when I reached the top, I had hoped that my hatred for Sin had been brewing for years, and I thought perhaps I was strong enough to take the fight to her. I was wrong. But she found me amusing and interesting. I was the first in such a long time to actually scale the tower and to reach it to her. And so she imprisoned me and made me sing songs to entertain her like a canary.
A canary. She used that word when she attacked Muriel and the other pilgrims.
Yes, I was amusing to her. And many more years went by that I entertained her with my lute and my voice. And eventually, I realized that the tower was not just her home, but the home of her own twin brother. His name was Virtue.
Virtue and Sin. The irony continues.
Yes, yes. It's a bit on the nose, isn't it? But Virtue and I, we grew very close. And you could see there's like a little bit of regret there. It says, I was lonely, and so was he. I think he's as much a prisoner of Sin as I was. And we came to be lovers for a time. And it was only because of that that in a moment, I think a moment of weakness, he divulged to me a way to escape the tower.
How'd you do it?
It was not easy. There was a sort of, you could call it a back door. One that not even Sin was aware of, but one that Virtue had crafted over millennia. He had always intended his own escape through this passage. But I think that I don't know if you could call it love, but his affection for me, he offered it as an escape for me. I think perhaps he had gotten to the point where he knew as well as I did that no matter where he ran, no matter where he went, that Sin would find him, because she saw him as much of one of her possessions as anything else. And so he offered that escape to me one night, and I took it. And I returned to Argentum. I returned to the Southern Temple, only to find it razed to the ground. My sister gone. But I could not stay. I had to have my head on a swivel, you could say. Yes. Sin was behind every corner, in every shadow, haunting my dreams. I feared that she would find me and take me back. And so I have been hiding from her for a long while. I learned only recently that my sister is alive. Vert managed to contact me from beyond the veil and told me of her fate.
Very much alive and strong, and
she was much stronger than me.
And she is doing what she can to keep you safe. It's a complicated situation.
Of course she is. You know, when he told me that she could have just found me and turned me in, she could have been free. But she couldn't do that to me, and because I don't know if I would have done the same if I were in her place, in her stead. But I have also experienced the horrors of the tower firsthand, and I'd rather die than to return.
And I think that she'd rather die than return you. Honestly, there must be a way for the two of you to break this pact, or I don't know. Slay a celestial.
Perhaps. Perhaps together we would be strong enough. But for now we must remain apart. But I hope that someday I can find a way for the both of us to be free and to be able to finally live. Without looking over our shoulders.
I wonder. I offered this to her, and she declined for the sake of your safety, but I have a small amount of spells that I've studied.
Oh, one of them. Full of surprises, aren't you, Mr. Innkeeper?
He looks like a little flustered.
Yeah, it, like, definitely there's like a little bit of a flirtatious edge to this.
He definitely looks a little flustered and kind of like avoids eye contact and is like, but it's, you know, it's nothing, nothing, you know, too powerful, but I can send a message over a great distance. And if there was something that you wanted to say to Muriel, or even I could try to show you how to do it. It might be a way for the two of you to both contact and also make sure you're staying a day or two away from each other as you look for one another without looking.
It does seem quite silly when you put it that way. Looking without looking. But that's exactly what we are doing. It is a dance that perhaps we will do for the rest of our lives. Never fully committing to the dance, but always dancing around it, around each other. But a message for my sister. There's so much to say, and yet nothing to say. We used to be able to finish each other's sentences, and I feel that she knows my mind better than I do. Tell her I'll meet her at the place where the sun sets in the east, where all things begin and end, and that endings that are beginnings and beginnings that are endings, and that when we find that place, when she finds that place, she will find me.
The innkeeper nods and reaches into his pocket and pulls out a little bit of copper wire. He winds one end around his right finger and then winds the other end around his left and pulls it tight, and you just hear him whisper the word bell into it, and you see just the briefest little glow to the copper as if it was heating up. And he relays this message. Now, Muriel, you are on the road walking when all of a sudden you hear, as if it was someone standing right next to you whispering in your ear, the innkeeper's voice with words from Gale. And in that moment, do you respond?
I smile and because I recognize that this is a these are words, these are lines from a sort of like Argentian children's fairy tale of a place that is not supposed to exist. Muriel just kind of chuckles to herself and she says, I'll meet you there.
The innkeeper relays that to Gale, lets him know that she responded, and then he winds the wire up and puts it away, and then pulls it back out and goes, actually, if you want me to show you how to do that, I could certainly try. I'm not sure. I know a lot of, it seems like your magic is kind of more of like a musical thing, but.
Well, I'm always, I would never turn down a private lesson.
the innkeeper again, like, goes red in the face and then just kind of like slides the wire over and like gives instructions from afar, like very kind of taken aback by everything. But yeah, he shows you how to cast a message ascending spell should you ever want to contact your sister again.
Yeah, and I think that you see that, like, because Gale's magic is a little different, you see that he starts, like, adapting it for, like, the metal strings on his lute, you know, that those start to heat up as he sort of, like, tightens that. Some of the tuning screws. Yeah, and so it's, like, kind of a different way of doing it, but very similarly, and you see that then he strikes a chord and that you kind of see that magic is now being sent across time and space and as very useful. Thank you. I suppose we shall have to keep our communications brief and few and far between, but it is nice to know now that at the very least, we can keep each other at arm's length for as long as necessary.
Hopefully not that long. Hopefully one or both of you finds a way through this darkness.
Yeah, I spent so much of my time in darkness, as you saw. I don't know if we will find our way to a true light, not the false light that Sin promised. But I suppose after meeting you, I have faith that we will find it.
Well, have faith in each other.
Yes.
You both are connected in many, many ways, but that connection of love and looking out for each other is the strongest.
It is. It really is. So, you know, when I left, the last conversation we had, I remember being angry with her that she was...
She regrets that.
Yeah. But I've thought about that conversation a lot, and I realize now that she wasn't just trying to quote scripture at me or trying to dismiss me so much as she... I think that she was trying to absolve me or to let me go without feeling like I was leaving her. That she hoped I would take some comfort in that. And she was always a strong one. And that was what I feared most of all, leaving her behind, was she was always my rock, my protector. And I feared life without her. I still do. But perhaps we can be together again someday.
You've been through something unspeakable. And nothing more should be asked or required of you, but she needs that rock now. She's been your rock. She needs a place to stand. She needs someone to be steady for her.
And Gail seems to consider this and nods. I think you're right. And I think that it's like at this moment that you see that there's a necklace that Gail is wearing that, and what you recognize on this necklace is there are like little baubles and things, like little charms, if you will. And what you remember from the vision of Gail's experiences in the tower is that these are the, these are like little charms and baubles from, that were in the possession of the other pilgrims from the Ascension, and that you watched as Gail picked them up from the bodies of the fallen as the group of these ascended grew smaller and smaller as they continued to ascend the tower. And you see that, he sort of clutches this and says, "It's time for me to be the rock for my sister." And to put my friends to rest. Thank you, innkeeper, for listening and for the drinks and the food.
Well, we all have our things, and listening to tales from people from all places seems to be mine, but for what it's worth, I will be saying a prayer every night that the two of you find your way.
Thank you. Well,
now let's just hope that my god doesn't turn out to be sacrificing people for their amusement.
Well, you know, it is definitely, you should definitely vet your gods.
Yes, yes.
It's a big lesson to be learned here.
References, background checks, all of that. Yes,
yes. Background checks are very, very important.
Yes.
Make sure they have a good credit score.
We don't have those on this plane.
Oh, interesting. yes. Yes, it is. It is funny. As I have traveled around, it is... I've seen a great many things, and I've been to a great many planes trying to both find the answer to our predicament and to stay one step ahead of Sin and my sister. But this by far is perhaps one of the most pleasant experiences I've had in some time, in spite of the...
Well, the Alson's not a bad place.
But it's certainly not all as idyllic as this. Keep your wits about you as you travel.
I will. Is there any place you is there any place you suggest I go, or any great sights to be seen?
The innkeeper thinks for a minute and remembers back to Muriel asking him to not send Gale her direction. And then he says, it's quite a bit of travel, but to the east is the capital city of Excessa. And there are many wonders to be seen there. I've even heard that the artificers have begun debuting machinations and machines that perform tasks. Quite something.
That sounds like a sight to behold. I should like to visit this Excessa.
I can point you in the right direction.
Fantastic. I shall leave in the morning.
Well, I gave your sister a free room. Only fits that I give you one as well, so...
Oh, but I must give you something.
I already have a coin from your realm. But I am a bit of a collector. It's my weakness. I guess anything that comes to mind from your homeworld.
Well, I don't have much except for the clothes off my back and my loot, but I do have something that is of unusual origin. And I think that he produces two things. One is a hair clip. And the other looks to be like cufflinks. And says, these are two things that I took with me when I escaped the tower. I feel that it is only fair that after telling you this story that I give them to you. Is so that at least someone may remember me. Remember my story.
Well, you can rest assured you will not be forgotten here in this inn. And he takes the two items and he kind of looks at them and goes, I hope in leaving these here, you can maybe leave behind some of that fear.
I hope so, too. I've been afraid for much of my life. I would like to not be anymore. I hope that these bring you some enjoyment.
It's fascinating to have things from other realms. It's makes for good stories.
Yes. And I promise they're not cursed.
I certainly hope not. Hopefully Sin doesn't, like, you know, have a bead on where these things are.
Thankfully, after I escaped in the manner that I did, she has a very hard time sensing where I am at any given time.
Well, that's good for
you.
Thanks to
her brother. Yes. Yes. My sister, on the other hand, obviously is more directly connected. But yes, take these and my thanks for everything that you've done and for the room. I shall be gone in the morning.
In the morning, the innkeeper has a similar pack that he provided Muriel, ready for you, Gale. Provisions, a little bottle of something strong that he slides in there as well. And just kind of hands it to you, and then just kind of takes you by the shoulder with his hand and gives it kind of a friendly squeeze, and is just like, it's going to be a long journey ahead of you, but you'll make it. I've met you both now. I believe in you.
Thank you. Thank you for your kindness, and I hope we meet again. Knee winks.
I hope we meet again, too. I hope Muriel and Gale find each other again. It is not good for siblings to be separated for too long. And while I can't imagine the trials they are going through, I must applaud their courage and tenacity. May we all fight hard for those we love, and be willing to sacrifice for their good as well. I will write you again soon. There are a few more tales I wish to tell you before the winter fully sets in. Till then.